The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Underground Gospel Radio.
All right.
Yo. What's going on? What's going on? We back in the underground. What's going on, everybody?
Oh, we here.
Everything doing good.
Everybody doing good?
Yes, sir.
We got the first lady back in the building.
Yeah.
You miss me.
We did.
We missed you. We definitely missed you.
You miss me like a side of mashed potatoes.
Yes.
I can't have mashed potatoes.
But yes, we are back.
We're back. I can't look at you now. That mouth just said, hey!
Yeah,
but I ain't gonna say nothing, y'all. I'm gonna leave you right to the middle.
How was everybody week?
Oh my God.
Our week was high.
Yes. Well, my week was very challenging. It was a birthday weekend, so, right. You know.
Happy birthday.
Yes, yeah. Thank you so much.
You don't look like you aged a minute. Yes, sir.
I still look good.
Y'all can see it, man.
But it's okay. I'm not mad at my flaws at all.
Right,
because I have some difficulties on this.
I've had some good days. Go ahead. Tell it. I've had some heels to climb.
It's okay.
Yes, sir.
Jamaica messed me up.
I'm hating over here because, you know, he always had that nice, handsome smile. And he has a blemish. It's not beautiful.
It's okay. Jamaica.
He's hiding behind the mic.
Yeah, I'm going to hide behind the mic today a little bit. So.
I was getting recognized you without your with your clothes on because you was naked.
Yeah.
For the most part.
He sent us pictures on the side of the boat.
But that was some nice drip though.
Shirt off and all that stuff open up.
Had his belly button showing.
Yeah.
Hey, listen,
mine would have had a little gecko coming out of it. But anyway.
It messed me up though.
It's all good.
This man here is on fire.
Yes, I am.
It's okay.
Because I'm the handsome one.
It's okay. How you doing? You all right? Because he just started with him.
I'm crying already.
Tag me. Your lip looks like my hair.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, is that a bumper glass?
Listen, I had something that burnt my lip, and my lip was looking like
Please tell me what burnt your lip.
I had a cigar that burnt my lip.
Yeah.
I had a cigar that burnt my lip.
You see what happens when you live for the devil? he'll show up every time.
Yes, sir. He'll leave a mark.
And in hell you shall lift up your eyes.
Jesus.
That's what you get.
It's all right, though.
Lord.
It was
we
all
walk
right.
in the studio, he normally smiled at me and grabbed me, y'all. He just bowed his head, hugged me, put his head on my forehead.
He knew that he was going to see it.
Yeah.
It's okay, though.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay, we sorry.
I was grinning because I'm just glad I wasn't alone.
Yeah.
I guess we together now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I ain't dapping you at all.
Doctor said I need a lippy out of me.
Oh, Lord.
But, yeah, listen, man, before we get started, go ahead and get your neighbors in the building.
Get your people. Click like and share.
Get your people in the building, man. Go ahead and go out there and get the disabled people.
Yeah, the people that get some ointment.
You talking about yourself?
I know. Get some ointment shea butter.
Oh Lord.
Get everybody.
Get you a Steven.
Yeah.
And bring them in.
Get them in the underground. It's all right. Long as they in the underground, they all gonna be all right.
And those of you who want to see us live one day, it's going to happen.
Yes.
But listen, we just having so much fun
at
getting into this word, into this topic, because it's literally healing us as a group.
As a group.
So we just letting y'all sit into our Bible.
Yes. And I love every minute of it. Yes. Y'all have me in tears over here. I'm telling you. But yes, get your people in the building. Go ahead and click, like, and share. Everybody, man, listen, man, I want everybody to make sure, you know, y'all get your people, man. Get your neighbors, your nephews, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters. I mean, your mamas, your dad. I don't care who it is. Get them in the building,
man.
Because I'm telling you, what goes down in the underground, I'm telling y'all don't want to miss, man.
Because
I'm your boy, Selfless the Artist. I'm your brother. I'm your nephew. nephew, I'm your cousin, but I ain't your daddy.
And it's your little brother heathen, I'm leaking, cause Jesus is the reason.
And I'm Big Win, the ultimate entertainer, and sometimes you might have to just turn his mic off.
Oh boy, here we go.
Here we go with the fan.
It's your girl, the first lady, D. Jaleesa K, and it ain't a front like a lace front.
All right, all right, all right. That's it. That's it. That's it.
There it is.
Peruvian.
That's it.
I can't say that correctly.
Peruvian. You need lips for some words. But yeah,
you know what?
Thank you, Marsha. Thank you, Marsha, for my wig.
Because we already know Jesus is
outside.
Yes, because what's going up must come down in the underground.
Anybody got any Vaseline? Tears of care.
Just reach in your ear and get some earwax.
Put some
ear. Blister.
Because he getting his words
Johnny,
out.
Now you know better by sending your husband outside with his lip look like this.
You know what? Don't do that. She all right. She good.
We rely on you to say things right. You can't be up here bubbly bump bubbly. Yeah, we can't. Yeah.
Listen, it's okay though. Yeah. We getting back in the groove.
And he drinking Snapple.
Yes.
Go ahead.
We finna move on to this good topic. But I'm glad to be back in the underground. I'm glad to see my good people, man. Yeah, I missed you guys, man. And I'm telling you, yes, man. I missed you guys, man.
You did not miss him.
Yes, I did.
You didn't bring me no King James. So I know you didn't miss me.
Uh oh,
Lord.
You were too busy getting burnt by that.
We are moving on.
Yeah.
Listen,
I wish they could see when I look through the window, the mannequins over there. They keep flipping me out because I'm like, one of them be moving in my mind. But maybe I need prayer.
You need prayer because they moving.
I feel like one just every time I look through the glass. But I'm gonna keep looking at you now because I'm scared.
Oh Lord, now the mannequin's moving.
Was that a stab?
No,
because he don't want to look at him.
Oh, she was
ready.
Good God. Really hostile and in the underground.
Listen, I ain't tagged that head in about a week and a half.
I'm sure. That's right. When I said something about my stomach, you said, and that is the joke.
Oh.
And that was the joke heard around the world.
It really was.
Yeah, it really was.
Well, let's go with the topic.
Yes, we're going to move on with the topic. And the topic for this week is mental prison.
Mental prison. It was more than that.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it was more than that. I just actually, you know, for title purposes.
Okay,
but I am my own prisoner.
Yes,
I am my own prisoner.
You are your own prisoner.
You are.
Yes.
And let's break down.
Yes.
What we have done to ourselves and allow others on the outside of our world put us in our own prison.
Yes. Yes.
Well, the definition of prisoner.
Come on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Definition of prisoner: a person legally.
Jesus.
A person legally held in prison as a punishment for crimes they have committed or awaiting trial. Or a person captured and kept confined by an enemy, opponent, or criminal.
Yeah.
Or a person captured by an enemy or opponent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Meaning that's not necessarily a law, but a situation.
And that's what the word law would mean. It's like that's situation.
Right.
And
right.
Our scripture is Romans 12 and 2.
Yes.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Wow.
Then you'll be able to be tested
by
what his will is. And then they real cute with it by saying, oh, here's what the will is.
Right.
It's good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, here's the question. Mm-hmm. When you talk about God's will, it's not really spelling out what his will is for you as an individual.
In the Amplified,
please,
say
it.
It said, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be ye transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove, in parentheses, for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan for you.
But my thing I was going back to, which I'm so glad you broke that down, is a lot of people don't know what their will is. And that's their prison.
Wow.
That's their confinement. Like, they're not even legally holding themselves in captivity because they don't know what is their will to be here or what is God's will for them. They just walking around, man.
So it's if they don't know their will for their life, that gives them to conform to this world,
because you're going to follow anybody else, whatever is appealing. You don't know, you know that old saying that the praise dancer want to be a preacher, the preacher want to be a praise dancer, organist want to be so and so.
Yes,
so you don't know what that perfect will is for you.
Right.
Yeah. I can actually agree with that, because now
and don't transform into somebody else.
Yes.
That's true.
Because if you don't know the will for your life or even your purpose for your life, you will actually conform to this world.
What you appease by.
And a lot of people get that notion in this world that, you know, I want to go with a trend. And I know we've had this conversation before where a trend overrides the word of God.
Oh, absolutely.
So if it's not a part of a trend, because even now we're having trends in the church.
There's a minute where you tie tribute, you jumping.
Yes.
There's a time when the whole choir,
it's in music too.
It's in everything that has to do with the church.
Yes.
Okay, now you dress down all the time.
Right.
Now preachers wear sneakers all the time and a t-shirt and a muscle shirt.
Yeah.
They're gonna be up there in tank tops after a while.
She
transformed again.
right. Now, my thing is, do you guys agree with preachers wearing labels?
Labels as in their title?
Wearing labels as in
big old fish hats.
Like Fendi and Gucci and
like the man that lost $4,000.
$4,000. Do you guys agree? Do you guys agree with that?
I agree. I mean, you can. You just got to be careful where your church at, because you might get robbed.
What do you think that he's promoting the label and the jewelry?
I can't. That's like me saying, you know, if I say something about him, then I shouldn't be on here wearing this. So I can't open my mouth and say that, you know, you can't do that, because technically I'm doing the same thing right now.
Yeah, but that's part of your label. Right. That's part of who you are.
Jewelry doesn't have
if you didn't have that on, I'd be like, man, what you going through?
Because that's part of your image. Now, if you're wearing Fendi, that you can't say that's like a part of your
front.
Image.
Like a lace front.
Uh-oh.
That was supposed to be an inner thought.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna get you, and when I get you, I'm gonna get you for the old and the new. Anyway, I'm such a parent, but no, I'm gonna, I think differently.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we can be others' hold up for their deliverance and their breakthrough.
Right.
So
right.
I think it's very important the way that we present God to somebody, because sometimes we can have the Fendi or the Prada and it may can be too much for them because they can't look at God because they're too busy.
It's too busy. Come on. Right. Amen. Right. And that's the point that I'm trying to get at, because then now if you're trying to get people to come to Christ or believe in God or believe, because then now they're saying, well, wow, now they have a motive and a goal, and they are wanting to conform to the image that you now portray, because right. you're saying, now I'm a leader and I'm a pastor and I'm a bishop or apostle or however the case may be, but right. I got Fendi down. So, hey, all apostles and Fendi, bishops and everything, they need to wear Fendi and Prada. Right. And now that's a living standard that a lot of people are trying to get to, but they don't know God.
And just like another example, like beyond all my colorfulness, like usually when I go to minister, I try to be as plain as possible.
Yes. Right, yeah. right. Because you don't want any distractions.
Right, because right. I really want you to reach your full potential in God. I want you to enjoy the service and whatever you need from God, whatever moment that I'm in with you, I want you to reach that. Right. But I feel like sometimes when we're such a distraction with the hair and with the outfit, because we are visual people in church.
Right. Yes, right. yes, right. you're right. visual people. Right. That's right.
Anything can distract us.
Anything. Yes.
And I right. would just hate for you to not reach what you need from God because my hair was too bright or my outfit was, you know.
Right. Yeah. 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 And yes. some of that accountability fall on the person as an individual and their own personal relationship with God too as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they should.
Yeah, see, but then they have an actual focus now, because then now if they have they're trying to come to a God moment,
right?
But then now they coming to you to help them get to God.
Right.
Now you are distracting, you're a distraction
right.
to what needs to happen, because then now this is the whole point of the topic, because people are in mental prisons,
right?
Yeah, and people in their mindset will be so distracted that it's taking off focus from God and their goals and everything else. And now we are distracted by what we believe, who we believe in, and when we need to believe.
Right,
you understand?
Right, right.
And that's what's, deterring a lot of people in their faith, because then now what do I need to believe God for? Because if I can't believe God for Fendi, Coach, Prada, or a Ferrari, a big house, then what am I believing God for?
Yeah. Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So now you're in a mental prison, and when you need to, and we talked about this the last time, where we actually need to understand that we have to be obedient to God in all of this.
Yeah.
We have to be obedient to God in all of this and be mentally free. Mentally, because you can't be free out there in the world and then come in church and to God and be in bondage.
Yeah.
That's backwards.
What is that?
Well, see, the issue is, and just from observing and listening to people, you know, the biggest problem people have while they're amongst their church friends, they can't be themselves.
That's it.
And to me, that's prison.
That is prison.
Now you're calling me by a number. Now you're telling me when I can eat. Now you're telling me when I can bathe. Now you're telling me when the
Jesus.
X, Y, and Z. But now I can't be myself.
The place that you're supposed to be comfortable in, you can't even be yourself. That's why it's called self a stick by.
Yes.
And your self-esteem is not helping and not working amongst people that you should be worshiping with. We constantly say Jesus outside is because it seems like we're more comfortable outside.
Yes.
But it should not be outside of the will of God.
Come on.
That's it.
We can't be that. We could be in the world, but we need not transform until the mess. But how can you not be transformed, but yet you're in prison at home? There are men and women who are married. A man can't say what he really like. The woman can't say what she really wants. The children can't say what they don't want to eat.
Come on.
Everybody's in prison themselves.
That's right. Yes.
What's happening is, let's just be honest, society made us institutionalize ourselves to make other people happy.
That's really sweeping stuff under the rug.
Exactly. Yeah, to make other people happy.
You know what?
Instead of self and the Lord.
And you, Listen. And you know what?
Plain and simple.
I had an incident. It was a major incident. And I had to explain to my wife. We was on the plane, and we was
place to have an incident on a plane. You can't go nowhere.
Yeah, you can't go nowhere, and then you're stuck. Looking at the person for how many hours you up in the air. So we was in a.
You can't storm off.
You can't do nothing.
Yeah, and I can't slam no doors. It's too small.
I'm done with this.
So we are in Comfort Plus on the plane. So we're towards the front. We're behind first class. So this guy on the other side of the plane now. And me personally, I kind of like to, you know, look out the plane, look out the, you know, the windows or whatever. Because I enjoy scenery. Yeah. So I tell my wife even all the time, I said, let me sit by the window. She'd be like, okay, I'm letting you sit by the window. So this guy on the other side was like, could you shut your, you know, I was like,
what?
So immediately my wife, she's like, okay, I don't want no problems. I was like, no.
I want to see.
What you got to do with whale over here?
Got nothing to do with you way over there.
Exactly.
It was too bright.
Yeah, it was too bright.
Did you pay for this window?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Why are you over here?
Right.
Why you all the way on this other side? Because you can't watch your little screen on your phone. And I'm like, I'm not about to. And I told my wife getting off the plane, I say, it wasn't the fact that, you know, I was trying to be rude. It was the fact that basically we are conditioned to please other people. And I'm like, what about yourself?
Right.
I enjoyed looking out the window.
You examined yourself as you was in trial.
Oh, Lord.
Exactly. She was your representative for your
attorney. Come on.
And you realize that, well, let me see whether or not I need to put myself in prison.
Right. Exactly.
Confinement. Now, I know I'm not guilty.
Right. Exactly.
But I'm in a prison right now.
So when people are pleasing other people, they are imprisoning themselves and not able to set themselves free in the will of God.
You were telling yourself, you exactly right.
That's it right there.
That's exactly
you put wrong. Yourself in prison.
How many things have you not done that wanted to because some folk is judging you?
Jesus.
You are right. You convicted yourself of something that you didn't even do.
That
you know other people done, and people that have done it are going to be the ones that put you on trial.
But you
don't want to commit the crime because you don't want to do the time. look over there, y'all. There's so many things.
Jesus. Yes. Right. And I really agree with that, because then now what about what you want to do? And you're literally, I would have been miserable that whole flight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I wanted to look out of the window.
Right.
But then you want to make sure you don't want to be a pest. You don't want to be judged. Right. You don't want to, you don't want people to look at your funny.
You could have closed the window. Close the cell and just sit on your cot and wait for everybody else. You could have done that.
Yes,
right.
I could.
Yeah, but see, we can't do that.
It's better that you left it up.
I left it up. That's right.
And you made him uncomfortable because even if you were slightly uncomfortable, you had the comforter with you to get you through
the process. Right. That's right.
And that's how we need to be in the church.
That's right.
So what if we don't please others? Because the comforter only works whenever we're in an uncomfortable situation.
Only.
And in the scripture, now verse 3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you."
And grace is strength, people. Don't know.
Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you.
Wow.
Now, here's the deal. He done gave all of us
faith, a seed of
What's that old term? He has given us an equal portion.
An equal portion.
Okay.
But some of us, later talk about, will be prophets. Some of have the gifts. Some of us will have this, that, and the other. But here's what happens. When the some of us get callings. Guess what we end up doing?
Getting arrogant.
We get arrogant, but at the same time, we get afraid that we're going to lose it in the eyes of people.
Ooh! come on, you so said
soon as you
said
get
that.
Called.
Yes, you did.
And you get put up a little bit higher. You know what you do? Now, your little sin, your little smoking a cigar, drinking brown liquor, you ain't want to do it in front of folk that was given the same equal amount.
Come on. Right.
But because we will imprison ourselves.
Right.
Because we don't want y'all talking about us.
Wow.
Knowing that you doing the same.
You thinking the same nasty stuff we think. Probably worse because they can't come out and do it in public.
Right. And because we have titles.
I said it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because we have titles.
Yeah.
We can't say what we want to do.
So you put yourself in prison.
We put ourselves in prison.
Wow.
For the sake of the law.
It's really for man, because the Lord said, I know,
We'll say, God took that taste out my mouth.
Yeah.
Y'all be stressing me so much, I just want to smoke a Newport every now and then. A whole, what they call them? Cadillacs?
Yeah, get a
long cigarette.
Yeah, long.
But y'all be stressing me out because sometimes people put us in predicaments that if we are too much like them, they can't receive when we trying to rebuke them.
Ooh, say that.
Say that.
My Cash App is on.
I told my
that's exactly right.
Wow.
So how do you tell people of God?
You got to.
And you're not perfect, but you telling of a perfect person to people that feel like, well, wait a minute, you ain't got no more right to say anything about God than I do.
That's why Paul said to be transparent with your brothers and sisters. And when you're transparent, when we're sitting here and we're being transparent, we can talk about our shortcomings and our longcomings together.
Right.
But whenever you hide stuff and being transparent, we learn who we can be transparent with.
That's it.
Because only some
people on our cell block.
Yeah, because
Jesus.
I call my sister Rio. She always tell me, sometimes you can't let people see Jaleesa, but they only can have Minister Kate or whoever office that you operate in. Because some people, they wishy-washy. They receive what they want to receive in this season.
But you know that's what? Right. That puts your whole being in prison.
Yeah, it does.
Because now it's teaching you how to act certain ways and do certain things with certain people and certain likes. I can't do this around this person.
Right.
And then now you develop two-facedness. And then now you develop multiple personalities.
Right.
And now you develop...
Jesus needs a Judas. You got to have it.
Yeah.
You got to have it because that's where you get to show God is your vindicator.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
See, you spoke with your transparency, but when people try to gaslight you and throw you out there, you got to.
Because then
God can move on your behalf, and the next thing you know, that'll be that same person that tried to gaslight you and throw you under the bus will be the one coming asking for forgiveness because they don't know how to get out of the position that you knew how to get out of.
Right. That's it. Right. That's
but
it.
But see, you use the term operate out of. You use that a lot. What do you mean for people that's out there, when you say when you operating in God's will, what's that? What's that, Jaleesa? Who is she?
Operating is something that I cannot be in my own self in. And the reason why I say that is whenever I have to go minister, I know that of course, God is working through me, so the message of Jesus Christ or healing or deliverance, because I feel like that God uses me in other ways. I feel like that God has given me the gift to lay hands for healing and to prophesy and stuff like that. But anytime that I'm presented and operating, I know that it's not about me because I realize that it has to hit me before I can go before the people.
Amen.
And to operate. But definitely... Jesus, I would definitely say that operating.
You just gave the perfect example.
Yeah.
You answered the question.
The grace, when you said
said it's not you to separate.
Yes, it's God.
People don't understand in order to operate in some, when you use that term, and I love it because I don't use that term, But I'm old school. We say be used.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's being used even when I should feel guilty because of how I was living or how my mindset was prior to God still using me.
But you said it perfectly. As in old school, when you had to use the phone in old school, who'd you have to call first?
The operator.
Yeah. In order to get connected. To the next person. Yeah. Yeah. So the only way you're going to get to God when she
says... Because that term is an old school term. Because what you are basically saying is, when they say, you know, decrease self, and you're operating in a gift. In other words, you are at a certain point... You're prophesying. At a certain point, you're healing. Mm-hmm. You're operating in the gifts that the Bible says that some have. And when you come out of not operating, and you're just at the house making a sandwich, no one should think that sandwich is anointed.
Yeah.
But I still believe that it is, because even when you're not operating, that's why I want people to really focus on that don't imprison even your calling of laying hands, because even when you're not at church, you know, you had an issue with your car. You said to us,
yes,
when the car broke,
yes.
Don't worry, I'm going to have me a car. Then all of a sudden, you had a car.
You had a car.
So you were operating.
Hours.
Yes.
24 hours.
You operated while you was telling us that your car broke.
Yes.
You started operating then.
Yes.
And it also reminds me, in the spirit of operating, it reminds me on, you know, you're at the hospital and, you know, everything has to go through the head physician.
Yes.
And we are either, you know, those, you know, the side physicians and or the surgeons. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what I kind of figure out. I always couldn't... before any assignment, I always consult with the head physician.
Yeah, you gotta connect.
And I feel like the head physician gives me the vitals.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel like that whenever I get the vitals and what's going on, then I can operate.
You can operate.
I still believe because you did that. You had to first, like in the operating room, you had to purify.
And it's very important.
Sanitize the area.
It's so important before we operate, we need to know what we're working with.
You need to know what you're working with.
Because you can't do a triple bypass and then you take out the heart.
Right.
Your backward cell.
Right.
Now, I have a question.
Come on.
And I have a question. Can you minister out of brokenness?
Ooh. If you plan on breaking it out here.
Brokenness can be a prison.
I was getting ready to segue into that, because what happens if you're in the operating room?
Ask me next week.
If you're in the operating room and you are the physician,
mm-hmm. right,
that can do it, and the call comes over the speaker.
Okay,
right.
But you was just drinking.
Right.
You can't sober up quick enough to work in your season.
Come on, brother. Come on.
You're going to come into your operating area.
Yes.
Unprepared.
Yes.
So that's why God said don't be conformed. Be prepared so when I call you for your...
Because you never know when.
Your design will.
Yes.
Be prepared to operate. I was staying on that word because you kept saying it.
Jesus.
And I've been following her ministry.
Wow.
This woman here has a calling on her so much that sometimes what you operating in,
yes.
God's going to keep on messing up the will of people around you.
Okay.
To mess up her operation.
The operation, yes.
So I'm saying to you.
You trying to make me cry.
I'm putting you on parole.
Lay down and let him operate.
Let him operate on you. Don't lock yourself up.
Wow.
And I just wanted to encourage, people on tonight, whoever's watching, hold on, especially people who are like traveling ministries, who got to sing, who got to preach, and sometimes you have to encourage yourself
before
you even walk out, because right. sometimes it can be such a pull and a strain to minister to somebody when you just had your heart broken or your car messing up. Talk Let me tell it. You Talk something. I have say been it. Through so much hell within the past 2 weeks.
And what then you say?
And then I have to put on my poker face because I know
Wait, what you talk about poker face? I'm glad you said
I have to put on my poker face because I know whenever I get before the people in the temple, what I'm going through, I can't bleed on the people.
Yes.
I have to give people something to strive for.
Right. Something to live for.
Because I realize there's somebody out there that's on the verge of suicide.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
And what you say out your mouth can potentially stop them from jumping off that
ledge. Their toes are hanging over.
So I'm not trying to say that I'm trying to sweep my problems that I'm personally going through under the rug. I'm just going to put a pause on it.
Because
I know that's a greater purpose above what I'm going through.
And beyond.
Beyond. But when I get finished dealing what the people need, I'm going to come back to Jaleesa.
Right.
Yes.
Because before I can, you know, I got to, you know, I got to get this straight.
Right.
I'm not trying to die prematurely. Because I'm too busy trying to build your house while my house is falling in.
But while you out there and you had to put on a new face. Did you put you in jail or did you put you in a prayer place?
You'll get more freedom by saying, I don't know right yet. Let God work on me, and then I have an answer for you.
But you know what, Wendell? Listen. I know this is very cliche. I just want to let people know that it is okay to be safe and go see a therapist.
Come on. And it's okay not to be okay sometimes.
Because just like we say that God called pastors and prophets, God called therapists and psychiatrists.
Yes, he did.
Because they are doctors.
For the mind.
And whatever your pastor or your overseer or whatever can't give you what you need. Maybe you need to see somebody that is willing to deal you mentally because your spirit has not yet been fulfilled.
And your mental is what puts is who walks down that.
That's the door that receives
that green mile.
Yes, that's the door.
That's what has you on death row.
That's right. Like Steve said it. In that TikTok, it showed, it said some pastors can preach, but can they counsel?
Come
on, counseling goes a whole lot. You could put the word in counseling. The word ain't nothing but counseling. The word of God ain't nothing but counseling. I don't know why people look at preaching over counseling, because a lot of people can't receive preaching.
Right.
Because they feel attacked.
Yes.
But when you counsel, that means I'm listening and then I'm giving a word that can help you operate in where you need to go in God's
will. He said operate. Now, in the sixth verse, said we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's to serve, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give graciously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Wow.
I just heard different offices in the ministry.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
But the issue is, if we're mentally in prison,
Jesus.
And meaning, let's say my mental imprisonment is I'm tired of people taking my money. And using it for ill-gotten ways.
Right.
What if my call was to be a giver? It just said give cheerfully. Now, I need to come out of my personal jail.
That's
and
right.
And just do it.
And
don't worry about who do what to do with what.
That's right.
God said give. He didn't say give to them and then dictate what they do with it.
That's our problem.
Wow.
But like what Sister said, when she got a minister, she got put aside her stuff because somebody want to jump. Yep. Sometimes I might want to get on the ledge with them because I know I'm not going to jump.
Right.
But if you grab on to my arm.
Come on.
Trust me, when you go to jump, because I don't want to jump, you ain't going to jump.
That's right.
Sometimes you need to get on the edge with them.
Yes.
Wow.
Meaning, wow, you got to take off not only who you are,
mm-hmm,
but that prison garment, you got to take that off, and you got to learn how to stand naked.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, they don't want to dance like David Wendell.
And you know, it reminds me, I was looking at a cop show. I can't quote the cop show, but somebody was getting ready to jump off a bypass.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the cop was trying to talk them off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
By the end of the show, the cop took off his shoes, off his belt.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because sometimes we be trying to minister to people.
Yes.
And like, just like you said earlier, we so flashy.
Yes. Yeah.
We so flashy. Oh, they can't even see us.
They don't recognize us.
They can't even see us.
Wow.
So sometimes I have to, whenever I'm in that flashy element.
Right.
And first of all, I don't dress up to be flashy. I dress up because, you know.
Yes, you.
I'm fine. But sometimes, one thing about me and God is I don't mind putting this in a ponytail.
Right. Getting your hands dirty.
I don't mind, you know, taking his makeup off because I realize that a work has to be done.
Right.
And first of all, it's a waste of time for me putting on makeup and going to church. I just realized that.
And the Bible says the work is plenty, but the labors are
few.
You got to work.
I mean,
right, you got to work.
Being in leadership is work. This is actual your calling, which is an actual job, you know, in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
You know, and we just have to be able to get our hands dirty. I have nothing wrong with anybody wearing Gucci, Fendi, whatever you want to wear. You know, I have no issue with that.
Yeah.
What I have an issue with is it being a distraction to the people that want to see God for real.
Yeah, but don't get in the pulpit and say, the reason why y'all don't have a Cadillac is because, don't do that.
Like, that's crazy.
And you'd be so surprised, especially younger people, because, you know, I work in the school system, whatever. And, you know, sometimes we have, like, you know, talk about church, and I'd be hearing people it. I would have gotten so much into service if her outfit wasn't such and such and such.
Right.
Or their hair was such and such.
Right.
But then again, on the other side.
Yeah.
Why are you so worried about
if
it?
If you were
Why are you
in the right place where you're supposed to be?
If your eyes are closed and you was focused on God, would you have seen her dress?
People don't make you do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are like, you made me cuss.
Yeah.
No, you was paying attention to what you was wanting to.
That slip. Well, Spanish don't slip.
Nah.
Out my mouth.
No.
I don't know.
You made me want to fight you. You got to make that mental decision. Stop imprisoning yourself.
Right. Yes. Right.
It's time to use the master key instead of the skeleton key.
I know that's right.
But it's also important when we come to all, you know, this Fendi talk and stuff, the spirit of the church.
Yes.
The spirit of the house.
Yes. Yes.
That is so important.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to actually come on this word conform. You know, because conformity is such a how can you say it? It's such a
guilty. Go ahead.
Conform is I'm trying to find a word for it, but let me break this down. Conformity, the process whereby people change their belief, attitudes, actions, or perceptions to more closely match those held by groups to which they belong or want to belong, or by groups whose approval they desire. Yeah. We have a lot of that in America.
Yes.
Period.
Period.
We have it within our black community.
Black community,
white community.
Yes.
Wanting to be accepted.
ABC. They have it in every last one of them. And that's the reason I said I'm guilty of it, because after a while, I don't conform to be liked, loved, or whatever. I don't even feel like arguing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's called conforming. I'm just going to say whatever.
Yeah.
Because I know it's going to be me and God.
Right.
But
right.
It can't be just me and God, because I have to go through him. I have to work with y'all. I have to work with this group of people.
Right.
It can't be just me and God doing
this
thing called saving souls and spreading the word.
Right, right.
But I conform. It's like, all right, so y'all don't dress up in suits no more in the pulpit. Okay, I ain't going to buy no more suits.
Wow. Wow.
I don't like the fact that I can't go buy
a suit. Wow.
Oh, we don't wear clothes no more. I worked hard to get 3 stripes on my
Right. Wow.
We don't do that no more.
Wow.
Oh, I can wear a beard.
Can I say what I don't like? What grinds my gears?
What's that?
See, it even jumps on that same subject. But before, all the pastors and everything were wearing suits. then to get the outsiders, the Jesus's outsiders.
Yeah.
We came in wearing sneakers, pants, shirts, t-shirts, and they was like, "Oh, that's a trend. So that's what we're gonna do." But your inside, was not transformed.
Right. Yeah.
You still had the mind of conformity, and the seal, the mind and heart of tradition.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you on a point. That was a time when we looked at a man that didn't come with a suit on, or at least a shirt and tie, and we're like, go past on. I guarantee you better smell liquor on their breath.
Wow.
We judged men that didn't come dressed. We judged women that didn't come dressed. Then we realized a lot of people aren't coming to church. I'm looking about the 80s.
Right.
Mid-80s. Y'all ain't old enough. We said, wait a minute. Because they said they don't have no suits.
Mm-hmm.
So we started telling them, come as you are. Why? Because we wanted them to come in there and pay tithe.
And pay tithe.
Then when they start coming as they are, it got to the point where the people that was dressing up in the suits felt like, well, let me go over to another dignified church where all of us wear suits.
Come on.
Because we still want to be in the suits. I could name churches where it shifted. The membership shifted because they're dignified.
Ooh.
Right.
Or when you had some churches that had the 7:30 service and you had the 11. Mm-hmm. 11 o'clock was the jitterbugs and you know, wear what you want. But the 7 o'clock, they were still in the suits. So now what happened is the mega churches said, hey, I don't want to offend nobody, so I'm going to wear sneakers, I'm going to wear a shirt, I'm going to wear a jersey. We're going to do this, that, and the other. So we conformed.
Yes.
And I'm saying conformed because I remember standing at the church and see guys from the back don't have a suit or a shirt or a jersey on, and we almost motion to people, go check him.
Right.
Wow.
Now we look just like him.
Just like him.
Somebody go check him.
While y'all was telling your stories, and the I saw a synonym for conformity, and actually two of them. And you know, I love synonyms.
Mm-hmm.
The first word is accommodate.
Yes.
Woo.
And the second word is adjust.
Wow. So that's is it
our
that
problem?
It's definitely our problem, because now it's in the church and it's in the people of belief. Now, do you believe that we've conformed to the outside to attract non-believers, or do you believe that we actually conform to, you know,
they conform to get some tides?
They conform to get tied.
And so that when we fall,
right,
we won't look like what we fell into.
Mm, oh,
so if I've already had a little mud, I'm gonna tell the truth.
Oh, come my on, goodness, bro.
We are not going to walk into the ABC store.
Right, right.
With our underground gospel radio show and hat.
Well, y'all know heathen. I wouldn't mind either.
But I mean, no deacon that served on Saturday. They preparing for which call? He got his deacon tag on. When he go into
ABC with his deacon tag,
he not gonna have it. Or that woman with the church tag, the dolly. She gonna take the dolly off before they go in there. Trust me. Now you can't. We in disguise.
Right.
We look like everybody else.
Man. Listen.
Come on, bro.
Wow. Somebody better check them.
You better check them.
But we used to do it. I promise you.
God.
Wow. Shame on us.
That's been a couple of times where I wanted to cuss folk out, but I had to look at my shirt.
Right.
I got this underground gossip. Like, you all.
Listen, you think I'm not. Listen, that's why back in the day they had everybody wear the little bracelet and say, what would Jesus do?
What would Jesus
that
do?
That was just to remind you, because you don't look Christian. You don't look saved.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But and they also know that you got some saved, some unsaved stuff you want to say. So you got to do like this. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do?
I tell you what.
Yeah, remind us.
They might have to get cussed out, but I threw over some tables.
Yeah. But still. But why is it that our outer appearance is so important than our heart? You understand? Because I can say, you know, hey, I have this on and I can go preach to people. They'll never see my heart, but they'll see what I have on first. You know, why is that so important? You know, and, you know, because now what we said was, people are visual.
Right.
Yeah.
People are visual. And but people are so visual that they don't hear what you got to say. So it's almost like you have to, your presentation has to match what you. So it's really, I don't want to say a contradicting thing, because then your heart could be far from God, but then you can match. You can look like.
I want to back that up with the word. Because the first verse in Romans 12 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice. Holy and well pleasing to God, with your rational. With your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. So you telling me that me walking in integrity and in the word of God and lining up with that, that is my worship.
That's your worship. But you know what? A lot of people take.
But people. Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of people take that as living for God instead of allowing God to live
in you.
That's where it's really shaky, because we are programmed.
Yeah.
Live for God. Right. Live for, you know, stand for this. Right. And it's like, wait a minute. You forget that you're living for God does not mean that God is actually living.
Right. Because Jesus.
And working through you.
And working through you.
See, the issue is, I hear the Muslims say you
come
eat
on
to live and not live to eat, or something like that. And it's, in other words, be careful what you put in your temple. A lot of when God said, I'm going to give you a comforter. So that's going to sit inside you. I'm going to give you a spirit.
Yes.
So everywhere you go, that old saying, I remember, I ain't gonna tell you his name. The preacher would always say, when you go into the liquor house or the whole house,
ooh, thank you, God.
You taking spirit. You taking Holy Ghost with you.
Right.
And so you're making the Holy Ghost weep. Ooh. While your flesh is getting enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, that to me was like, you trying to make me feel uncomfortable.
But while
you're telling me I'm feeling uncomfortable, that's when we have already learned to switch our spiritual to our mental.
Right.
Mm. So you ain't gonna make me feel guilty because I'm being a hoe. Mentally.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm focusing on mental winning.
Right.
Now when I leave up out of there,
you better say
I might get guilty.
Right.
And then the spirit might say, you know, you shouldn't have done
that.
But the other part of me gonna say, but we glad we did.
Living for Jesus or make you look judgmental when it comes to people that ain't ready to change.
You're right.
Right.
But
you're right.
Let Jesus live in you.
Yeah.
You know, there's scripture that say that Jesus didn't say nothing a lot of time.
A lot of time.
They said stuff to him deliberately. Right, right. You know, a lot of people ain't ready to change, but they say a whole lot because they ain't at the point of to want to change. But it's the seed is there.
Okay.
So you can't always reply to everybody that say, I want to change. Listen to me. No, sometimes you need a hush.
Right.
Shut up.
Right.
And write in the sand.
Write
in the sand, because it said in the scripture that the Sadducees and Pharisees didn't have to hear him say nothing. They looked and seen what he wrote.
That
shut him up. Sometimes all you got to do is shut up and let Holy Spirit speak to people.
That's right.
Period. So you saying the leaders need to shut some leaders?
Sometimes just be quiet.
Hey, tell them, Wendell, turn your mic off.
Sometimes be man or woman enough to say, I ain't got nothing to say.
You can get up in the pulpit.
I done been through hell. I know you the pastor. I done been through hell. My relationships are bad. My children is messing up my gangster. Just tell them, I ain't got nothing to say.
And that's going to make them think.
That'll make the people following them and respect them. That's what you want. You will come out of prison. You will come out of bonds by saying, you know what? Hell is on my back so much that I don't even want to say nothing out my mouth. Saying I'm no longer the vessel.
Yes.
But the crack is getting more. So I'm leaking more than I'm filling.
Yes. I should push you off this.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Sometimes you have. I mean, come on. You got to admit. Sometimes that crack.
You
God is filling.
Always filling.
Jesus. You ever use the bathroom, flush the toilet, and realize you got to jiggle the handle?
You got to jiggle
sometimes
it a little bit.
You got to sit down and let God jiggle the handle. Because if not, you're going to keep hearing that thing start off again.
Yep. Filling you right back,
back up. It ain't filling in time. Just jiggle that handle. I done been through some hell.
You done been through
to
some
the point where I said, people are like, give me a word. I said, I ain't got one.
Come on.
Have you ever been so sick of the Saints?
Come on.
I'd be so pissed off. Yeah. If somebody tell me one more thing, I am going to just explode. Like, it's been so many times people have came back and told me stuff.
Yeah.
And God had to give me a holy hush.
Yeah.
Just a holy
glory.
Hush.
Yes. What I said to you earlier, in anything you've been through, remember, wear your veil. Still be a surprise. Still be, because see, I don't want people to think I've arrived.
That's right.
That's when you really gonna send me to hell, because you see the mess I get into. I ain't arrived. Still going through.
Hey man, I'm gonna do the rest of the podcast and, like this.
I don't blame you, because listen, y'all studied that scripture about the veil.
Yeah.
God didn't call each and every one of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the veil has yet to be lifted.
Come on. Wow.
We got so much. Listen, he didn't lift it. Yeah.
Wow.
It's so much that we have.
Yes.
We are literally pregnant with possibility.
Yeah.
Oh. Ready to birth our prosperity.
Labor pains in the Lord.
Right. We pray, and we have not yet got close to it. And that's not being prophesying, but it's people that are listening and paying attention to us in this setting. Amen. That's starting to trip me out, because I ain't all in the website and all that.
Yeah.
But there are people reaching out and asking questions.
Right.
They never would have asked from a pulpit.
Come on now. Listen. I'm telling you, it's definitely, you're right about it, because a lot of people can relate.
But guess where I'm sitting when they ask the question, and it's everybody in around. At a place where they sell liquor, beer, wings, and we talking about the Lord.
And we talking about the Lord.
Oh, I saw you on the thing. Let me ask you this question.
Look at that. See, wow.
Because I'm not a prisoner within my own prison.
Within your prison,
like,
wow.
Jesus. I had no problem talking about the Lord.
Amen.
People related to Jesus, not because... See, don't conform. Jesus didn't. People didn't relate to Jesus because he sinned too, because he sinned not.
Right.
Yeah.
They related to Jesus because he was transparent about life.
Right.
But
period.
But you know what? A lot of people take that conformity word and use it as an appearance, but it's really talking about your heart and your beliefs and what you really believe in and your actions.
What you stand for.
So while we're around here worried about, you know, what a person have on, you understand, that's the least of what God is saying. Do not conform in your beliefs. Do not conform in your actions. Mm-hmm. Do not be conforming in your perception.
And if this is tradition of your tribe,
that's right.
Because
in the
definition, doesn't it say about conforming? It said to change the belief.
Yeah.
So that means you already had a belief and a standard.
And a standard
before.
Yeah. That's right. That's
reconcile.
Right. That's reconcile.
Reconcile.
That's it.
Don't synonym.
Jesus.
Don't change your belief. Basically.
Yeah.
But we change our belief according to the popularity.
Come
on. Someone else's.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm learning popularity now don't mean nothing.
It means nothing.
When we had one of the podcast, man, you said the difference between inspiring and influencing.
Yes, you did.
Saying, wait a minute, you're right. Everybody want to be an influencer.
That's right.
And if you look up the word influencer is a demonic.
It's very controlling.
It's very controlling.
And I hate it for these young ladies who think that I'm going to put the camera over here, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to clap my behind. But mine's been clapping since 1902, baby. Your behind is not the only and the first behind that clapped.
That's right.
They've been clapping a long time. But because now you can get paid
to clap
as an influence,
come on.
Clap.
That's
my
right.
My grandma behind her clap walking down the steps.
Didn't even want to.
Didn't even want to.
It was just
she
doing.
She wore a girdle so it wouldn't clap. But because y'all transformed and put yourselves in behind, y'all fellas are paying for women's behind to see women behind do what it naturally do.
There you go. That's right.
I think that's the dumbest thing in the world.
Some and just slow it down and some speed it up. But it's the same. Yeah. Right.
Clack, clack, you, clack.
Yeah, hey. Don't you say that.
Y'all going.
Oh my God.
I can't stand it.
Oh my God. Really? Really?
I really y'all can't. Listen, where's my husband at? My God, you going out here paying for it?
Yeah.
Oh. And you can come home and see it for free.
Yeah. And that's a problem. I have Jesus. A problem with that.
Yes.
I wish. Oh, I really, really wished. I'm saying jokingly, but I mean this from my heart.
Amen.
I oh, wish boy. That churches and youth groups and all this vacation Bible study would talk about what. Sandwich.
Yeah.
What hey. Are these kids hey. Seeing on here and say, tell me what you like about this.
Come on.
Right. I really right. want to break it down tell you because I'm saying, okay, yeah. I'm 100% man.
You got to set right. the environment right. first
and
before.
And I'm saying, okay, baby.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
is bending over. You arching your back.
Showing draws and everything.
Wait. I don't care how crafty you yeah. think you are.
Right.
It's not making me call you a mm-hmm. woman
yeah. right
yeah.
at all.
Nope.
But I know that we're spiritual, but I got something to say.
Come on, Jilly. Come on.
I just want to say God got a sense of humor.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he loved me so much that he made me backwards.
Yeah.
Oh. He made you backwards. He made you backwards.
She tell he because he already know. I listen, you call me what you want. I'm gonna keep it real.
Because
God already knew that because you know all my happiness
yes.
yeah.
is in the front.
Yeah.
Amen. What okay? you say? It's in the front.
It's in the front. In the front.
Okay.
Because God already knew
uh-huh.
that if he would have put all my grace and my mercy in the back.
What you say?
I would not know him the first. Do you hear that? And I would be the one on the phone clapping my cheeks. Amen. My cash app is dollar and sign.
For that we say thank you.
Thank you. So he put everything in the front.
So he shifted the atmosphere. So
I would have been on your timeline. I would have been on your timeline, baby. You hear me?
Yeah, would you say you would have been on the timeline?
Represent the 99 and the 2000. Back that thing up.
But the truth, see that we like telling the truth.
Yes.
But wow. what we'd rather do is, ladies, come on. Because I want y'all to find husbands.
I don't understand but how they think they can find a husband doing that.
They can't. But they're getting bills paid.
Yeah, they're getting bills paid.
That's temporary.
That's very temporary.
You end up yeah. with about 7, 8, 9, 10 kids.
Yes.
And can't pay the bills.
Can't pay the bills.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he wasn't there genuinely. But then right. he got the nerve to go talk about the man. But you was the one yes. making that thing clap.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
wasn't looking now, for now somebody, a real man.
Now you're 57, 58. It ain't clapping, it's flapping.
Oh.
And you wonder where the good, strong 60-year-old men is at.
Well, if the wind can't hold it up, he ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
That's not my testimony.
That's not your testimony.
Amen. I got the shade flat.
Nothing. But you can give a go. Word, though.
Listen.
Yeah.
Hey.
I can pray for you. I can lay hands on you.
Jesus.
But yes, this has been a great topic, man. I've really enjoyed this because, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that they're in a mental prison, you know, even spiritually, you know, people that are in leadership, they're in the prison, you know, and some people, they're so egotistical that they don't really think that they are
right
when you're conforming to, you know, so many different things on so many different levels
right
that, you know, hey, listen, man, you're in a prison, go see a therapist, go get help.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Along with, you know, praying and, you know, spiritual.
And also get you someone that you can thoroughly confide in.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And I think that's very important. And a lot of leaders don't have that.
That's
a
right.
lot of leaders don't have people that they can confide in and actually talk to, you know, off
right.
from the mic, off camera,
right.
out of the pulpit, and say, listen, bro, I am broken. I'm this, I'm that.
Right.
I'm, you know, I'm going through. I'm right. my kids, you know, jacked right. up. And, you know, a lot of people don't have that. And that's why they miss minister out of brokenness. They minister out of, in so many different right. areas that really you need to fix yourself.
That's what I was about to say. It people in the church, if you think that getting up, listening to worship music and lifting your hands and everything like that is liberating, let me tell you something. That worship like that, that musical worship, is so much more liberating when you can sit down, talk to somebody, mm-hmm. and get self done, mm-hmm. and get poured out, and get counseling, mm-hmm. and get real healing. Because mm-hmm. then those songs really minister to you.
Yes, yeah.
Because you just false. Yeah. It's false when you worshiping and you tears crying. I know that's emotional. That's not healing. That's not healing. The heal is to go through that mess mentally and say, you know, I'm still standing and I'm learning from the lesson from it. Then go listen to them songs.
Yeah.
Boy, you thought you was crying tears and everything before. Do that and see what happened. Yeah. You won't have to go to pastor in the church to get that. You do it in your own home. Yeah. And then you can take it to the temple and show it to somebody else. Because they're going to recognize the difference.
I've never been incarcerated, but I've, of course, had to counsel people.
You haven't been?
Mm-mm. So what I've learned is there are four emotional stages they go through.
Okay.
When they know they're about to be released.
Mm. Okay.
They are nervous of how to function and uh-huh. not be sent back. That's number one.
Okay.
The second one is the euphoria of freedom.
Yes.
Meaning when they then physically walked out, they go through a euphoria, that whole staring at the sky,
right,
you know, inhaling, breathing. The third one after the euphoria, which is a real strong high,
mm-hmm.
is seeing people that have not been incarcerated and what they mentally do without knowing it. They compare the free people to the people that they was locked up with.
That's
the spirit. That's what they should not do.
Okay.
In other words, you come out and now you're around family people that don't know. And if you also hear them tumble, man, back in the joint.
Right.
That's where they mess up. And the fourth part, which is what I think preachers, pastors, people minister, what they go through, is now that you're free, you quickly forget.
Ooh, where you came from.
Where you came from.
And that's why they go.
You forget that euphoria.
Yeah.
You completely forget being incarcerated.
Jeez.
But at the same time, that's always a part of you.
Listen, I've been there.
You've been there.
I've been there. And I've done some time. And
yeah.
It ain't for me. But guess what? I will not ever forget where I come from.
Right.
But I know what you're talking about, where people actually forget where they
that
actually
they got
came,
caught.
That they got
forgot that they went through the court process.
Yes.
They forgot all about that. And they said, because in their minds, I got caught, but I know a different way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I know now how not to go back there.
That's right.
That's what we mess up.
Yeah.
We need to serve God the way God willed us to do it.
Yes.
And you got caught grabbing so and so, sister so and so.
Yeah.
But now you're trying to figure out a sneakier way to not get caught in your mess.
But you know what? A lot of times, and we about to go ahead and wrap it up. A lot of times, and the reason why this right here, this mental prison, is so prevalent for me is because I was locked away and I was locked up and I was at a point where and I guess that's why I express myself and why I believe what I believe and how I believe, mm-hmm. because of the simple fact you can lock this body away.
Yeah.
But when you tap into that freedom of spirituality and that mental freedom, that's a different level of faith.
Right. Yes. Right.
That's a different level of faith. That's where you can actually, I don't care where you put me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what situation you're in.
Yes.
I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what if love, if people
Amen.
Hate you, people talk about you,
That's
people
right.
putting you in situations, you know how to remain mentally free.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And that was a training point and a training experience for me, because when you're prevalent on everybody's opinions and prevalent on everybody's actions and what they think of you and how they feel about you. you and all these different things, you will be in a mental prison and you will try to kill yourself because you are in bondage of opinions.
That's
but when they can lock you away and you are mentally established outside of this jail, outside of these four walls, you can lock this away, but I am mentally, spiritually, and my faith, and I can really believe.
Amen.
You're stepping in a new realm.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
But see, a lot of people are not that.
A lot of people are not.
Man, if you tell me right now, first of all, you can put handcuffs on me.
you going down.
My arms ain't touched each other behind my back since I was an infant moving blocks around.
I'm done.
Oh. That's number one. And I don't do back seats of nothing.
Of nothing.
And I don't look good at all in a jumpsuit.
Tag me. Let me tell you something. I am a piece of fine woman.
Okay, all right.
Let me tell you something. Ain't no other woman gonna have any of this. Do you hear what I said?
You can turn my mic up.
Do you know what they will do to a fine specimen of myself?
They're gonna say they call you first lady.
Listen, commissary, honey bun, cigarettes. I got what you need.
You got it. You got it.
Cause I'm fine, baby.
Jesus. We finna wrap this. We finna get up out your face and up out your
ear. Commissary,
note.
I was through.
We finna get up out your face and up out your
ear. You gonna eat your cornbread?
Listen, my name, not even Jaleesa. My name is 247. I'm just kidding. I ain't going to jail.
My number is just 5X.
5X.
Cause that's the size jumpsuit I won.
Oh my goodness! Sir. But we gonna get up out of here, man. We got to get up out of here, man. Go ahead and click like and share, Jesus. Man. Get your people, man. Let your people know we was in the underground. Yes. Let them know, man. Cause I'm your boy, Selfless the Artist. I'm your brother. I'm your nephew. I'm your cousin. But I ain't your daddy.
And it's your little brother, Heathen. I'm leaking. Cause Jesus is the reason.
This is Big Win, your ultimate entertainer. Yup, Baroo.
Turn this mic off.
And this is your first lady, DJ Lisa Cade. And it's getting cold outside. We'll get draws. Amen.
We out of here.
You're going to catch the pneumonia. Where your draws at?
The cotton ones. Not the silk. Not the thongs. Okay, we out of here.
Peace.
Oh, my goodness. I can't.
This shit.